Welcome to Thought Crime and Keto Crime, where Tracy does the sleuthing so you don't have to.
Welcome back to Thought Crime, Keto and Crime. Today, we're starting with the fourth part of our in-depth series on the Quiverful Movement. And we're going to do that by getting into Pastor Steven Anderson and the new Independent Fundamentalist Baptist Church. This is going to be a wild ride. I feel like I should have called this week Shark Week. But anyway, so we're going to get into that. And then tomorrow I'll be doing a breakdown of the Chad Daybell initial hearing. I've been watching all of that, and I have a nice summary prepared for you guys if you didn't get a chance to watch it. And then finally, on Tuesday, our final installment in Quiverful Week will be a breakdown of the quote-unquote colleges that they use to educate their youth. Anyway, it's going to be fun and informative. Also wanted to kind of clear up some things I said in my update. Some of you may have gotten the idea I'm going to go back to half true crime in history, half keto. That's not the case. I am going on keto. I've been back on keto for a couple of days. I feel much better. I think even my face might be a tad slimmer. But no, I'm not going back to half and half. This will still be 99.9% true crime in history. I will occasionally give a weight loss update, but I'll probably save that for my wonderful patrons and my new channel members. In case you didn't know, I have both Patreon, which I'll link here, and there's links down below where you can join us. There's wonderful perks over there. And I also now have channel memberships just down below next to the subscribe bar. If you haven't hit that subscribe bar, because about half of you aren't subscribed, I hope I can earn your subscription today. Go ahead and hit that or even join the channel. Three tiers down there, very inexpensive, and you get pretty much the same perks as my patrons. So, yeah, I think it's a great way. And I want to give a quick shout out to my patrons and my channel members right now. Very special shout out to my patrons, Kat Wilhit, Demelza Pasco, Lauren Kirk, Sarah Carney, Andrea Lee, Tabora Sumner's Cooper, and also want to give a shout out to Demelza's daughter, Chloe. Always nice to have you here. And my channel member, Samantha Stevens. Thank you so much, Samantha. And if she's lonely down there, give her some more love. Go down there and join. It always supports the channel. As I said, it's never required. I will do this no matter what, but it is nice to have money to buy the books and to upgrade the camera, microphone. I've also bought some new animation software, so you'll be seeing some animations in my videos going forward. I'm really trying to make it more appealing to you guys. But the best thing you can do is give it a like, subscribe, give it a share. That's the most important thing you can do, because that catches the almighty YouTube algorithm, and from there we can help ride the channel to success. Anyway, I know that's enough blathering. Let's get into it. I will again put some timestamps down below. Let's get into it. Steven Freaking Anderson. Let's do it. Steven L. Anderson came into the world in Sacramento, California in 1981. Fundamentalist parents who raised him in more of a fundamentalist church. And I don't know if you knew this, but I always thought, and I want to thank the wonderful, wonderful Jen over at Fundy Fridays for bringing this to my attention, and I did delve into it. If you haven't subscribed to her, you need to. I'll link it up here. She's phenomenal. But I found out from her that the word fundamentalist does not necessarily come from a return to the fundamentals of the Bible, as I thought, but it's actually the result of a series of articles that were written and circulated among evangelical denominations way back in the 1900s. And that sounds so weird, way back in the 1900s. Anyway, back in the 1900s, And it was basically a list of what they consider to be fundamental that actually made the whole fundamentalist movement caught on. So it's not going back to the fundamentals of the Bible. It's actually following the series of articles that said what the fundamentals were. For example, basically these fundamentals are biblical inspiration. So the Bible is inspired by God, every single solitary part of it. So like I had said, the Quiverful kind of based theirs on a proverb, which is basically a poem. That's still inspired by God, therefore that's where they get their fundamentals. You have to believe in the virgin birth of Jesus, a belief that Christ's death was the atonement for sin. You have to believe that Jesus resurrected not only in spirit, but in body. There are some denominations out there that believe that Jesus' body didn't rise, but his spirit did, much in the same ways ours will. So yet you have to literally believe that his body got up, angels rolled the stone away, and he walked out. That's what you have to believe. And that you have to believe that the miracles of Jesus were a historical reality, and they weren't manifestations of mental illness that were written down or anything like that. They were actual miracles. So those are the fundamentals that go back to fundamentalist churches. And I want to thank Jen over at Fun Day Fridays for bringing that to my attention and allowing me to do more research into it. But anyway, back to good old Stephen Anderson. He attended Wood Creek High School in Roseville, California, and graduated with decent grades. And he left his traditional fundamentalist, non-denominational type church for the Independent Baptist ministry movement when he was 18. Now, Independent Baptists are those that adhere to not only those fundamental precepts, but also they adhere to the majority of Baptist belief and theology, though there are some big differences. But for the most part, they call themselves a Baptist, which is often, linked to the Anabaptist movement all the way back to John the Baptist. That's kind of where that comes from. Anyway, so they believe themselves to be part of that greater body, but they haven't adhered to what they call the politics and the in arguing and theology that revolve around things like the Southern Baptist Convention. I know a lot about that because I have family that are Southern Baptist. My mom was Southern Baptist before she converted to the more radical Pentecostalism that we were in, and then back to Baptist now in her later years. And so I know a little bit about it, and I went to a fully Southern Baptist women's college that was fully funded by the Southern Baptist Convention. So I know all about, I did that on scholarship, so it was a financial decision. But it did have a very good reputation. Judson College in Marion, Alabama, look it up, one of the best schools. It's now become sort of co-ed, but it is one of the most renowned Baptist colleges in the world, fully accredited by Sachs. We'll get into that in our incept on the colleges. But it has a very well-known history, and it's named after both Mr. Judson and the Judson sisters, which were famous Baptist missionaries in the 1800s. Enough of that, but just wanted to give you but the Independent Baptist churches do not adhere to either Northern Baptist or Southern Baptist or any other larger Baptist convention that's out there. That churches that are members of these, like Southern Baptist, most of them just say Baptist, and there's First Baptist, there's even a Second Baptist, I believe. So there's all of these other Baptists that are linked to other larger congresses of Baptist churches that kind of lay down the theology for them, and they all follow that. So they don't adhere to that, and they kind of go their own way based on these fundamentals and what their pastors interpret the Bible as saying. So that's kind of where he turned, because he thought even his fundamentalist interdenominational church that his parents attended was too liberal. So, yeah. He actually became a missionary at the age of 18 and never went to college. He's very open about that on his website. He also kind of pros down on college education for the most part. He doesn't believe it's necessary. I don't believe it's necessary for everything that you need to do. But he prides himself on having memorized most of the Bible and being able to quote scriptures from memory with no trouble whatsoever. So I had to give him props for that. I know some verses, but not all. I mean, I've read the Bible cover to cover several times, but not to that extent. So he became a missionary in Europe and spent several years proselytizing the independent Baptist movement in Europe. And it was while in Munich, Bavaria, near Germany, part of Germany, that he met his wife, Susanna. And according to popular lore presented on his website, Susanna was an agnostic, which means you're questioning what's out there. Like, agnostic means you're always questioning. You never are settled on one thing. You're always looking for more answers. So you're seeking. And you don't necessarily believe it. You're just seeking. So she was an agnostic, whereas atheist, what I claim to be, sees no evidence of a deity. It doesn't mean we say there are some arrogant people out there that say there's no God. I don't say that. I simply say I see no evidence of one. So that's what the difference between an agnostic and an atheist. You can be an agnostic atheist. You can be an agnostic theist because you think God's out there, but you don't know what it is. You can be an agnostic Christian. Many different things. But she was an agnostic, so I mean she was kind of a seeker. And an ardent radical feminist. Now, in the early 80s, this is most likely what I call an old school feminist that just wanted equal rights for everyone within the differences between men and women, because there are differences. But that's what he claimed she was. Now, I take this as very suspect, because a lot of these fundamentalist Christians believe a feminist is anybody that won't adhere to their rules. You know, it's not just somebody like me that believes in ultimate equality, but it's also women that just won't wear long skirts or let their hair grow or be a housewife, forced housewife, things like that. So anybody that's not adhered to what they think a true virtuous woman should be is considered a feminist. So I take that whole, she was an agnostic feminist, with a grain of salt, a big one. A lump of Redmond salt. Huge. According to an interview that Steven Anderson would give later to Jesse Peterson, who I think has just as much of a screw loose as Steven Anderson, but that he gave her a track and offered to do a follow-up. And he was very snide when he said, follow-up. If you get my drift, I'm going to drop that link, that video. Right here.
It was in Germany, by the way. My wife's from Germany.
Oh, okay.
And I was over there doing work with missionaries, doing preaching and everything when I was 18 years old. I just wanted to travel a little bit, broaden my horizons. And when I met my wife, she was actually a feminist. She'd been raised Catholic, but then she rejected that around age 12 and just became sort of an agnostic.
Right.
And so she ended up believing on Jesus Christ, being saved. And then, you know, that changes you. And her views on everything changed.
And that was due to your influence?
Right.
Wow. And what made you attracted to her, since she was not a believer or she was an atheist?
Well, when I met her, I was out evangelizing. You know, I was out with my Bible, talking to people. Her reaction to it was, well, none of this is going to do me any good if I'm late for work. So I just got her phone number at that point because she had to go to work. Right. I just got her phone number and email address just because she was pretty. Good. And I'm a young man,
yeah.
And so I figure, hey, pretty girl, you know, do a little follow-up.
But anyway, if you can put all of the obvious bad sexual humor aside, what he meant was he found her desirable and wanted to pursue her, and he did, and they ended up dating. He brought her over to the United States. They went through the entire, you know, she went through the immigration process, became a citizen, and they eventually married in 2000, and they have 11 children, whom they homeschool. Now, if you want to get an idea about Susanna Anderson, she actually has a YouTube channel, and you can just Google it, and she does different teachings. She does things on homeopathic medicine, which is something they evidently believe a lot in. She does Bible study. She does homeschooling techniques. She does recipes for people on like a specialized gluten-free diet because she's into like the ancient grains and things like that. So she does all kinds of different videos. I actually watched her review of the Michael Pearl book, which I found, I agreed with many of her opinions on it because she believed it was child abuse the same as I did. That's where my agreement with her stops. But if you want to check her out, just type in Susanna, starting with a Z, Z-S-U-Z-A-N-N-A, Anderson, and it'll take you right to her video.
Video 6 in the Baking with Einkorn course. In this video, I will be showing you how to make savory yeast breads. We will be baking a 2-hour sandwich loaf, dinner rolls, and a molasses oat bread, similar to what they bring out at places like... Talk about the sleeping arrangement we have for our family. We have 10 children. Those are 6 boys and 4 girls. And their ages, the boys are ages 17, 16, 14, 6, 5, and 1. And the girls are ages 12, 10, 8, and 3. So I want to talk a little bit about their sleeping arrangement because we live in a house that is considered small for our size family. It's around 1,600 square feet. And like I said, we have a family of 12. Our house has 3 bedrooms and 2 bathrooms. In addition to that, we do have a schoolroom and another room that's kind of like a den slash office. We also use it as a guest room. There's a bed in there for if we have either company or my husband is traveling and gets home in the middle of the night, doesn't want to disturb us, he'll sleep in there. So when people hear a house around 1,600 square feet, they think that's tiny. But it's not the people that take up the space, it's all their stuff. There is a resort in our town, and their largest suite sleeps 13 people. And you're not going to believe it, but that suite is about 450 square feet. And it fits 13 people. And it only uses 2 bunk beds in the little kids' room. They have basically 3 sleeping areas and 2 bathrooms. And it's broken over just about 450 square feet. And they only use 2 bunk beds, which we have more bunk beds than that. And nobody would think, well, this is way too small. It's not the people that don't fit into 1,600 square feet. It's their stuff. And personally, we like to reduce how much stuff we have. We're kind of more minimalist in that. That's really what it comes down to, that the more stuff you have, you become really like a museum curator of all those things to the closet space in the bedrooms. Let me show you a tour of our bedrooms. Here we have the girls' room. This used to be the boys' room, but about a year ago, right before our whole house debacle happened, we redid the girls' room, and they had this idea of having like a French bistro theme. So what you're looking at here is a triple bunk bed, and it used to be decorated in like a cave theme with a bear and stuff. So we started out by, you know, painting the wall in a light gray. So gray and pink are the tones we went for. And room in the house, it is also the messiest because it is the boys' room. So there are 2 bunk beds in here. In the front here, you see a twin over twin bunk bed. And if we go down the back here, there's a quadruple bunk bed here, which is a twin over twin on this side and a twin over full on that side. Same concept as in the girls' room, and they have their underwear hutch here, so everybody gets their own cubby and underwear drawer. And then they have a wardrobe here in addition to their closet that has, it's like a walk-in closet, so that's where all the boys' clothes are. And here's another hutch with a drawer for each one of the 4 oldest boys. So like I said, these
videos, it's worth a watch. I mean, it's entertainment if nothing else. All right. So in 2005, he founded his church in a strip mall in Tempe, Arizona on Christmas Day in December 2005, the Faithful Word Baptist Church, and that's where he is pastor today. He founded this as a normal fundamentalist independent Baptist church, which is the movement he was heavily involved in, and made himself the head pastor. He basically touts it as an old-fashioned fire and brimstone kind of church. They only use the King James Bible, and they believe in winning souls and telling the truth. And we'll get into what they mean by telling the truth. And it is an extra mile in Tempe, Arizona, if you're so inclined to look it up. And then he decided that the Independent Baptist Church had become too liberal. And he decided to start what is known as the New Independent Fundamentalist Baptist Church. And that's the next section of our video. To understand the new IFB's doctrine, you have to first understand the regular IFB's doctrine. Basically, as I said, it was a group that did not put themselves under any of the major Baptist conventions or Baptist congresses. And they have very different beliefs than what you would consider Southern Baptist or First Baptist or anything like that. They, for the most part, independent Baptist churches kind of went the other way, a lot of them, and they took on the unlimited grace and tulip doctrine of the Calvinists. Now, Calvinists go all the way back to John Calvin. And basically, if you look up the Presbyterian Church, a lot of it is very much rooted in Calvinism. There's also some other denominations, but that's the most well-known. And basically, it's a doctrine that puts forth that God has already chosen who he's going to save, and nothing you can do can change that. So all you can do is live the best life you can and hope you're one of the chosen ones. So, but they also believe in, instead of infinite torture, like with most denominations, there's heaven and hell. There's paradise, and then there's eternal torment for sins. Okay, well, with the Calvinist, with this tulip doctrine, basically, and the Calvinist basically means there's two other options. There's two options that are not like that. There's paradise forever for the chosen, and then there's annihilation, which means that those that didn't make the cut will just simply cease to exist. So you're not tortured and you don't suffer forever. So that's what a lot of these independent Baptist churches believe. And that's the reason I think they kind of hammer down on so many of the rules, especially like the Quiverful movement, but trying to follow the Bible to a letter. So, but Stephen Anderson and the members of the new IFB believed that was totally wrong. So they went back to what they thought it was. They did not believe in Calvinism or the tulip doctrine. They don't believe that it's set out. They believe you can win God's approval and actually get into heaven. So they went back to a core doctrine of salvation by faith. Once saved, always saved. Surprisingly enough, they believe that once you ask Jesus into your heart and pray the salvation prayer, you're saved. That's very unusual. It seems to me they would be the type that say you can lose it, but they do believe in once saved, always saved. They believe the King James Bible is the only one that can be trusted, but ignoring the myriad of problems with translation in the King James Bible, it was written on order of a king that was rumored to be a homosexual and very mentally unstable, and it was done to please him, so there's no telling what kind of mistranslations are in there, but that's the one. They don't believe that, you know, the new Bibles, any of the more modern Bibles, are adequate, so they believe only in the King James Bible. They believe in the Trinity. They believe in soul winning, hard preaching, which essentially means that Stephen Anderson gets up there and bangs on his podium and throws a hissy.
Never be allowed on this church as long as I'm the pastor here. Never!
Whoa. Hey, there are many mansions in the church, but there's no room for the fornicator.
Oh,
no. No room for the homosexual.
No, no, no.
No room for the drug abuse.
No, no, no. No.
Amen. Peanut butter and white bread.
There's no room for the college graduate. No room for people who watch public television.
They believe in post-tribulation rapture, whereas other independent Baptists and even more mainstream Baptists believe in the pre-trib rapture. Now, if you're not familiar, we went back to our Harold Camping video. We talked about how, you know, the elite, the elect, God's chosen people would be taken out and caught up in the air with Jesus, and that was the rapture, and then everybody else would suffer through the tribulation 7 years into the world kind of thing. He believes everybody will go through the tribulation, and then the end the people will be taken out just before Judgment Day. Sounds kind of depressing. And so that's kind of what it's built on. They also technically don't believe in Zionism, which is the belief that the Jews are God's chosen people. They believe Christians are God's chosen people, and we should either convert the Jews or they should die. He has been banned from several countries based on his anti-Semitic and anti-homosexual views, and we're going to get into more of that. But that's basically the views of the new IFB in a nutshell. So Anderson started this movement not long after he created the Faithful Word Temple in Tempe. He basically said that even the independent Baptist movement was becoming too liberal. They had the doctrine wrong. And so he went back to what he thought were the core set of doctrines. And to date, they have 30 affiliated congregations, all satellites created by former church members in Tempe, Arizona, his buddies that he's like basically franchised them out and given them their own churches. So there's about 30 of them worldwide. 16 of them are in the United States. And the others are in Australia, Canada, Philippines, and South Africa. Now, let's talk about the controversy surrounding Stephen Anderson and the new IFB, shall we? Let's talk about their stance on gay people, on LGBTQIA+. Let's talk about their stance on people like me. One word, they hate us. Even though they say they love us and they're telling us the truth that we're going to hell because of our lifestyles. Okay, I could throw a myriad of arguments to I was born this way, to live and let live, but they don't want to hear that. They just say that it's bad. And he actually goes beyond trying to convert to just get rid of us. He wants us dead. He has preached several sermons calling for the execution of homosexuals and praised the Orlando nightclub shooters that occurred in 2016 at Pulse nightclub. He praised them and said that they literally took X number of pedophiles out of the world. One of his pastors, by the name of Grayson Fritz, not far from me in Knoxville, Tennessee, actually preached another sermon calling for execution of gays. They are very akin to the Westboro Baptist Church in this regard, even though they don't do the protesting and things like that that they do. So he doesn't like me very much. And in the words of Andy Griffith, gays are not the only ones that they hate. They hate Jews. They consider the modern nation of Israel a fraud and believe that land should go back to the Palestinians. They teach that Christians are the chosen people of God, not Jewish people. He has produced several videos condemning the Jewish religion, condemning the Jews, condemning the establishment of the nation of Israel, and saying that, alluding to, that the actual Holocaust was non-existent. It never happened. Well, if that didn't happen, Stephen, where are 6 million Jews? Can you tell me that? Sorry. It gets me emotional. One of my dearest friends in the world happens to be a Jewish man and just whose family came here to escape the Holocaust. His grandparents came here to literally escape Auschwitz. They were Polish Jews. They ran for their lives, and that's just a slap in his face, and that just pisses me off. But anyway, and this has brought a whole lot of trouble. Basically, several countries have made being, like New Zealand and Australia have made, and I love you guys in New Zealand and Australia. Y'all are the kindest, nicest people. But they made it basically a hate crime to, they basically banned this particular type of religion. Not because it exists. If one exists that doesn't go out and preach hate, they're fine with that. But basically, New Zealand banned a new IFB pastor by the name of Logan Robertson, who had gone over to Australia and was harassing Muslims and at two mosques in Brisbane, and had also attracted media attention by saying that the then, in 2018, New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern should go home and get in the kitchen. Well, they deported his ass from Australia, and he came close to being deported from New Zealand. But he was told to tone that down. Now, I know I'm a free speech absolutist, and unfortunately, this kind of stuff irks me. Let me explain myself. I admire the people of New Zealand and Australia for taking that stance, because that's just not a move of their government. That's very much the will of most people there. You know, they voted by ballot to legalize gay marriage in Australia. So their stance on things is very much the will of the people. That's what makes it different. Here in the United States, you know, they say 60% of the people are now for gay marriage and, you know, that kind of thing, but I don't know how a ballot would turn out here. So to protect the rights of every single citizen, I don't think we, the United States, should take such a stance. But I do think we, as the citizenry that is more than willing to educate ourselves, should give these people a hell of a hard time. And so that's what I like to do. That's the reason I like to expose this, so you know what's out there. So if you see one of these churches and you're tempted to go join it, don't. That's it. Steven Anderson is a known associate of one Alex Jones, and he and Jones actually put together a website by the name of True Sons of Liberty, where he recommends elimination of the IRS, Federal Reserve Bank, Social Security, Child Protective Services. He also has been a frequent guest on InfoWars and even produced a documentary with Jones in 2016. But he has said here lately that he no longer supports him, maybe because of the whole Jones saying that he was just playing a character. It was performance art. Who knows? But he was very much an anti-government. Now, I am very much for free market, but I do believe there's some things we need, like Social Security. I paid too much into it for it to go away now. I think the Internal Revenue Service could drastically be simplified. Yes, I will say that. And do I think that we need to do away with Child Protective Services? No, because there's a lot of idiots out there, like the Pearls, that beat kids. So, no, we need some kind of oversight. I'm very much in the middle here. I know that makes me kind of not assuming an opinion, but to me it is an opinion. But anyway, that's the kind of person he is. And as a result, in 2008, Anderson was the subject of a 90-minute standoff with Border Patrol agents and Arizona Department of Public Safety officers at the entrance to Mexico in Yuma, Arizona. Yuma is like literally right on the Mexican border. He was attempting to go into Mexico. Didn't want to show the Border Patrol agent his passport and refused to show it. So they basically told him to pull over and park. They ended up calling Department of Public Safety officers, and it ended with Anderson being tased, and I have video of that. I will drop it here, but mind you, there's a certain part of it where he screams like a little female dog, and so, headphone warning. Doesn't that just make you glow inside? Anyway, I mean, all they were asking you to do, Stephen, is show your passport. It's not asking a whole lot. I mean, unless you didn't have one, then that's a problem. You shouldn't be trying to go into Mexico anyway. But anyway, so he was arraigned for that in April 2009, pled not guilty. He was acquitted of the two charges in 2010, and in 2015, he created a documentary on it called Failure to Obey and published it on YouTube. Like, they really overstepped their bounds with him, asking him to show a passport. And the tasing, okay, I'm sure that was excessive. I would have just pulled him out of the car and handcuffed him, but part of me, yeah. It's like seeing two supervillains. It's like seeing two villains fight, and the one that is the greater evil loses, and that makes you happy. You know, not the Border Patrol agents being evil, but just the whole incident. So that's it makes me happy. Anyway, in 2009, he developed a sermon entitled Why I Hate Barack Obama, in which he said he actively prayed for the death of the president. This was said to have inspired several people that actually planned out a possible assassination, though Stephen Anderson later said he did not want him to be assassinated. He wanted his death to be by natural causes because he didn't want him to be a martyr. So he definitely hated Barack Obama. And as a result of all of this hate, he's been banned from a lot of countries for different reasons, not just the gay thing, but just because of his general hate toward people that don't agree with him, toward his subjugation of women, children, his incident with the Border Patrol agents, you know. All of this has literally led to him being banned from many, many countries. South Africa, he is banned from. He has churches there, but he can't go visit them. He was banned from the United Kingdom, from Canada, from New Zealand and Australia. So there's a lot of places in the world where Stephen Anderson just can't go. Also followed up by the Dutch banning him from the Netherlands and Jamaica also banning him. So anyway, and finally, the most recent scandal, if you will, that has rocked the church. And I want to put a preface on this. Well, I'll do it in a minute. But this is a scandal that happened actually during the quarantine. In July of this year, it was leaked that Stephen Anderson's two oldest sons, from what I understand, got into a group chat with some other kids who were underage and began talking about very graphic sexual escapades, and I'm going to drop some of the messages that were pulled from that log here. So anyway, his 18-year-old son, possibly 21, I'm a little sketchy on that, but that 21-year-old may have just been another church member, but they were engaged in some very crappy, you know, exploitative conversation with girls, and as a result, it was brought to Stephen Anderson's attention, and he did a whole sermon on it, and I'm going to put bits and pieces of it here.
Sermon tonight in Romans chapter 2. You know, I want to start out by just talking about a few bad things that are going on in our church, and this is not being live streamed to the internet or anything. This is just for you guys here. I'm speaking about this, and I just want to start out and just explain what's going on, because there are two situations going on right now. Okay, now the first issue is that a few days ago it came to my attention that a whole bunch of teenagers in our church, a whole bunch, not a few, a big group of teenagers have been on this like private messaging social media deal that we didn't know about. Okay, because we don't allow our kids to be on social media. I know a lot of other people in the church don't allow their kids to just have unfettered access to the internet or be on social media. But sometimes kids find a way around these things, and they were in this group, and they were talking about all kinds of garbage, just a bunch of filthy stuff, just dirty jokes, and just a bunch of just inappropriate, offensive junk. And basically, it's just a bunch of idiot teenagers getting together and just one-upping each other. It's like the junior high locker room, and all of this just one-upping and shock value and dirty stuff. And here's the bottom line. It's wicked, it's wrong, and two of my kids were involved in it. Isaac and John were two of them, and a whole bunch of other kids in the church, okay? And here's the thing. As soon as I found out about it, you know, I came down like a ton of bricks on my kids. I gave them severe punishment for being on there and talking all this garbage and crap.
But basically what ended up happening was a lot of infighting between him and the other pastors in the IFB. A lot of churches split from him. A lot of people were he threw out of his churches. He specifically threw out the families of some of the girls, particularly the mothers who he called loudmouth women when they wanted some retribution for their daughters. They were thrown out. And then he also alluded to the fact he had dealt with his sons, which probably means he beat them within an inch of his life. Now, my preface that I was going to say earlier. I don't hold what people's children do against them, because this is a kids, especially ones that are raised in such seclusion as these Quiverful kids. Look at Josh Duggar. They have issues with sex. And so I can see how this can easily happen. In a way, yes, it's their fault because of the way they treat sex in the home. But also, I've known a lot of preachers' kids who were, you know, sons of very liberal preachers, like in the Methodist and Episcopal churches, that are just as wild. It's just a preacher's kid thing. So do I want to hold Stephen 100%? Do I want to hang him up on a cross per se because of this? No, but I do think it's a scandal that needs to be brought out. And it's being used as a weapon against his church, and as a result, there's been a lot of infighting. And so that's the present-day state of Stephen Anderson and the new IFB, and that it's kind of in disarray because of this. Now, right or wrong, it has become a scandal. But Stephen Anderson is still preaching his hate. He's still raising his children Quiverful. And he's still a pastor that this Quiverful movement holds in high regard, for the most part. And he's one reason that you should be very careful about the church you choose. Anyway, that's my little expose on Stephen Anderson and the new IFB. I'll be back very soon with another video. Until next time, Keto Comic.